This joy that we're calling it today is not just positivity, not just thinking positive thoughts or nice memes on Instagram. This joy has roots.
Welcome to Tell Podcasts. You're listening to encouraging words from Pastor Darren, bringing you truth and peace through God's word. In this episode, we talk about the beauty and peace of joy. Where does it come from? Think, evaluate, learn, lead. T-E-L-L. Tell. Now here's Pastor Darren telling us about the joy of a forgiven life. Thanks for listening.
I need you to grab a pen or a pencil or something and just keep track how many times during the sermon I say the word joy or joyful or rejoice. They all have joy in them, right? Keep track. How many times I say joy or joyful or rejoice? Starting now. Joy, 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 joy. I've seen some powerful change in people in our church, and really experienced some of my own as well. Just enlightenment, understanding, and practice of forgiveness. So if I were to ask you to describe for what forgiveness looks like in your life with an emotion, right? What emotion or feeling would you say comes to mind that describes forgiveness for you? I'm going to give you about 15 seconds. I want you to write it down, because when we write, we're much more specific. We're less abstract. So if you can, grab a pen, pencil, crayon. Okay, this is simply what you feel. No one can tell you any different. You're just saying, this is how I feel. This is how forgiveness makes me feel. So you can't get this wrong. So, okay. So comment on Facebook Live. Write it down here in church. Now let me ask you, how many people put peace? That's normally a top contender. Freedom sometimes is, or relief, that feeling of freedom and relief. Okay, someone put that. I'm going to suggest that among those are all right, but when we think about forgiveness actually changing things, one of the things that forgiveness can change in our lives is to bring us greater joy. The joy of forgiveness changes people, it changes situations, it changes relationships, it changes circumstances, it changes you. So, where does joy come from? How and where do we as humans experience the greatest, the most joy? And when I'm talking about joy, I'm talking about that positive response of an emotional experience that makes a person want to smile or laugh or dance or sing, maybe even jump up and down, and you see the change in expression on their face. Okay, that's joy. Where does it come from? I did some research on this, and one researcher mentioned, I really like what she said. And she said she found some patterns when it comes to where joy comes from on this earth, in our lives. For example, cherry blossoms, bubbles, swimming pools, hot air balloons, ice cream cones, especially the ones with sprinkles. See any patterns in there? Colors. There's color in joy. Abundance. There's multiplicity. Not just one big, massive thing like one piece of paper, but cut that piece of paper up into little pieces and you have joyful fun, right? Sprinkles on an ice cream cone. See that? Multiplicity. Anything else? There's also like levity or elevation, highness. Tends to bring out joy. Fluidity also does, like water, swimming pools, bubbles combine a number of those aspects. Okay, all those come out and show what joy is. No wonder when there's a big arc of a rainbow that stretches across the horizon, it catches our attention. It has a number of those things in it. Or how about fireworks? You hear the explosions, you see them in the sky, and if it's not July 4th or December 31st, you have no idea what the fireworks are for, but it doesn't matter because the people, there's someone celebrating with fireworks, and you're drawn into it. You are too. So all these aspects of joy, that's, the research shows, that's That's where it comes from in our lives. So if that's the case, then why do our schools oftentimes look like a prison? Or how about not just schools, but our cities sometimes look pretty boxy and flat with a lot of gray asphalt. And man, how about churches? Churches have to be boxy and brown and rigid. You know, I just think of pews. There's nothing wrong with pews, but they've kind of come to us in our church world as the way to have church. But they symbolize some things too, and one of those things is straight, rigid lines. You better behave in here. Okay? Think about these things and how where joy comes from, and then apply that to the forgiveness of sins right here in Psalm 51. I think it's really an awesome study, so I'm doing that today. It's not just in Psalm 51 that we can see elements of this throughout the scriptures. Look in throughout the Psalms, or Philippians is a New Testament epistle. That's the book of joy we sometimes call Philippians. We read from it today earlier. Or the book of Revelation has color and abundance and elevation all over it in the book of Revelation. Okay, here's abundance. Thousands upon thousands, 10,000 times 10,000 figures that John sees in some different visions in Revelation. Joyful colors like sky blue and bright white and robust red. We see all painted all over the book of Revelation. And then you see some different jewels or gems that are used to decorate the city of God that is seen in Revelation. And they include every kind of precious stone, jasper, sapphire, emerald, ruby, turquoise, amethyst. I don't know what all those are colored. Some of you probably do, but I know there's color in there, right? It's colorful, rich gems and jewels. And then joyful elevation. John has to look up, and he says he sees the holy city of God high and coming down out of heaven. Some people say, when I talk about joy, that's different than happiness. Happiness is kind of just smiling and positivity. So this, call it what you want, but this joy that we're calling it today is not just positivity. It's not just grin and bear it, put a smile on your face, not just thinking positive thoughts or nice memes on Instagram. This joy has roots. It has a strong foundation to it so that it's not going to go away. It's always there. We may not always feel it, but it's always there, and it's not going to go away. And it changes us. I'd say it's this. The difference between receiving a gift, and man, that brings joy of its own, doesn't it? Someone gives you a gift. Wow, I didn't even deserve this, and I didn't have to work for it, and I bet there's something exciting in there, right? So there's joy in receiving the gift, but you don't know what it is. But then there's the joy of opening the gift and really experiencing the gift, right? You get it. Maybe it's a shirt you've always wanted and you have to put it on right away, right? You're experiencing the joy of opening the gift. That's what I want us to experience today when it comes to the forgiveness of sins. So I want to show that to you, the difference between knowing that forgiveness is a solid truth, and it's written on the pages of the Bible, and it's written on paper, and it's in doctrine books that are dusty books on a pastor's shelf and in a seminary library, but it's real. It's real and it's there, but there's more to forgiveness than it being a truth. And that more would be experiencing that truth. We don't just say it. We say it in our creeds, by the way. Pay attention when you say the creeds. We say forgiveness of sins, we believe it. We don't just say it, we experience. So here's what David talks about this in Psalm 51. Here's what he said. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Look hard. Look carefully. Where do you see joyful abundance in there? Multiplicity, plural, things, not singular, but many. Last year, my friend Todd helped me break the first bone in my body. My 50-year-old body, I had not broken a bone in my body. Rumors had it that I broke my nose when I played football in high school, but that wasn't confirmed. But the first confirmed bone break in my body, I broke my finger, the tip of my finger, okay, with the help of my friend Todd. And it hurt. Is it supposed to hurt when you break a bone? I think so, right? But then it wasn't only the pain of when it happened, but then for weeks, even months afterwards, I would put that finger in my pocket, I would grab my keys, I would grab the steering wheel, I'd bump it and it would hurt. There was pain there. A sign of it healing is when there wasn't pain anymore. And then there was joy. It was the joy of it not being painful. So no worries, Todd. It's okay now. I forgive you and my finger's good. But it taught me a life lesson about forgiveness. Do you know how many bones are in the human body? You know how many? Total, how many bones are in the human body? This is true of everyone. How many bones? 206. We're born with like 237 or something like that, and then some of them fuse together as we become adults, and at least that's the number that I researched, 206 bones. So see what David is saying here? He's talking in the plural, and he's saying, many bones, the bones, God, you have crushed, rejoice. So what if, instead of my friend Todd just helping me break one bone, what if he helped me break 205 more bones? I mean, what if you broke all of the bones in your body? And would that hurt? It would hurt to sit. It would hurt to sleep. It would hurt to think. It would hurt to walk. It would hurt to eat. Everything would hurt. But then when those heal up, and they would heal at different times, the big bones, the small bones would take right longer. But eventually they would, and think of all the multiple times as they heal where you would say, oh, that's better. It doesn't hurt anymore. Oh, and another day would come and a different bone number 118 would heal and you'd say, oh, that's better. And then bone number 127 and then bone number 13. You'd have these multiple moments of joy when the bones that were crushed rejoice and heal. That's the joyful abundance of the forgiveness of sins. That God doesn't say to us, I told you once that I forgive you. Just that's good enough. But how many times in the scriptures, in his revelation to us, does God say, this is my forgiving grace, I love you, I forgive you. And then how many different sins does God forgive, actually? That's the multiplicity, the joyful abundance of forgiveness. Every bone rejoices, David said. There's one iniquity in that verse. He's talking about one iniquity, but there's many, many, many different bones that rejoice. That's joyful abundance in the forgiveness of sins. Okay, let's go to color. There's color in these verses, Psalm 51, verses 10 through 12. David writes, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Noel Stafford had no idea how much his life would change when his children pooled their money together and got Noel a pair of Enchroma glasses. Have you heard of these? Okay, so for people who are colorblind, these glasses are now engineered to actually restore some or all of their vision so that they can actually see color, especially if colorblind, you can't see the reds and greens. So his grandson actually took a video and it went viral. You can Google this guy and see this video. It went viral. He puts on the glasses and he cries in tears of joy. It's so clear, I can hardly believe it. And he can see color for the first time. We witnessed this on video. Okay, that's us. When we say, create in me a pure heart, O God. When you think pure, don't think necessarily clear, like looking through a clear glass window. Think vivid. right? Think the object of the of what's, it's so pure, so clean. The windows are so clean that you can see through like a pair of enchroma glasses and see vivid colors. And how God has colored forgiveness for us in the scriptures. It's all over the place. The red of Jesus' blood, the gold of the crown of Jesus' victory. He rose from the dead and he rules over all. Nothing can take forgiveness away. The white of God's purity and holiness and an eternity in heaven because all is forgiven and it's done. The green of growing as the Holy Spirit allows us to grow in our faith. We watch our children grow up and we continue to grow in our faith. All of that, God's world is not a black and white pale world that is all about black and white rules and black and white behavior. God has colored our world both physically and spiritually. So you and I in forgiveness have joyful abundance and we have multiple color everywhere. Finally, there's something else attractive to us about joy, and that's things that are high or floating way up in the sky. I catch sight of this helium balloon that's on the ceiling of this building, and I think if we were all here when that had happened, right? If I was holding a helium balloon right now in front of you and it was floating here and I said, I'm going to let this go, and I let it go, all eyes would be on that balloon and watching it. Just we're drawn to, when you hear a jet soaring, whether you're 5 years old or 50 years old, I'm out picking weeds in my yard and I hear the sound of a jet and I'm like, oh, what's that? Like, well, I haven't heard a jet before, but it's hard to ignore. I want to see it. I want to, right? So things that are elevated and high up in the sky gain our attention. That's God, folks. Except for this. In order to gain an accurate sight of how high, how up there God is, we need the most powerful telescope of faith ever. And if you're going to take a telescope and look far into the distance, think of the Hubble Space Telescope or something, right? This is not mounted on a flatbed back of a truck somewhere, and you put the guy on the telescope on a trailer of a truck, and you drive around during the night, and you tell him to get a good view. What's he going to say? Well, stop bouncing around, right? I need stability. I need a place to put that telescope where I can then look through it powerfully into the distance. So we need to be grounded firmly if we're going to have that joy of seeing this height and highness and elevation of God. We need to have that. We need to be grounded. So here's how David says it with firm footing as we connect to what's up there. God, he says to God, you do not delight in sacrifice or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. David's picturing an altar there. And in Old Testament times, the altar was the people's connection with God. The altar was where the priest would sprinkle blood to symbolize the great sacrifice of the coming Savior for the forgiveness of sins. The altar is where there would be sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice, and God would come to forgive his people, and the people would come to show God their praises and to bring their offerings. That was the altar, this grounded, stone, firm, implanted, earthen, massive thing that allowed the people to connect to the highest, most elevated God of gods there will ever be, the altar. And what does David say about it? He said, God, the altar is a broken place. You don't even want us to use it anymore. You don't delight in our burnt offerings anymore because we're not bringing them with faith and joy and appreciation for you and your forgiveness, so much so that you say, don't even bring them at all. David says, so I'm not going to bring sacrifices, but God, I will bring this. I'm not going to bring my behavior, my financial gifts, my good deeds, my church attendance. God, I'm not going to bring that because it's not good enough. David says this, I'm going to bring you myself. God, I give you me. And isn't that what the New Testament talks about in Romans 12, about offering ourselves as living sacrifices? And to whom do we offer that? To whom do I offer me? To the one who on that altar didn't just give us things, but gave us himself. He said, my deeds for you, there's not good enough. My words written on paper, my promises are not good enough. I need to give you me, God says. And so he gives us himself. And God came and he himself suffered a broken spirit when Jesus suffered for our sins. Right? He himself suffered that broken spirit. And now, because of the crucified and risen Jesus, we are both grounded in the forgiveness of sins because of what God has done on the altar of the cross. We're grounded, and then we can give him our praises because that altar is central and key to our relationship with God. So David, knowing that, says, open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. That is worshipful joy. Joy, 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 joy. All right. That's it. I'm done with the joy part. So how many? Who is counting? Who can give me a number? How many times did I say joy, joyful, or rejoice? Those didn't count right there. We're done. 59. Exactly. That's what I had too. All right, the rest of you are probably close to that. Let us pray. Thank you so much, God. It's been really a special day with understanding the joy that you intend for us, the joy that we can celebrate as your people, and the fun, actually, that forgiveness gives to our spiritual life and to life in general. Help to make us more joyful, to express our joy in loving and appropriate ways, and to know that ultimately you want us to experience the eternal joys of heaven. May the words of Psalm 51 be planted deeply in our hearts so that we can rise as high as ever in our joy for you and ultimately meet you in heaven. In the name of our Savior Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to Tell Podcasts. Tell's mission is simple: teaching you the real gospel so you can teach others. Remember, truth brings peace. For more about Tell, visit us on Facebook or at tellnetwork.org.